The scripture this morning comes from Psalms 105, 1 through 11. It can be found in the Pew Bible, page 523. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength, seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgment He pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God, His judgment are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for a thousand generations. The covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac, He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit.
Thank you, Paige, and thank you, Kitty, and Ding-a-lings, and Handbell Choir, for leading in worship. I would ask you to think for a moment about a treasured memory, something that is unique, or something that holds a special place in your life, in your heart. It may be something that might seem trivial to other folks, like being part of a triple play in softball, and your wife turned her head to talk to somebody just as you made that diving catch of a line drive, stepped on second, and threw the guy out going back to first. Not as trivial as you would think. No. It might be being present at a monumental moment in history. I guess this is a morning for personal reflection. All of my family was present in Atlanta when Hank Aaron hit his 500th home run, save moi. And they remember it. I don't. Good reason. Or perhaps it's at the birth of a child, the death of a loved one, a marriage celebration, or simply walking along with a child or a parent or a best friend on the beach, in the woods, just being there with each other. Well, the Bible is filled with all kinds of memories of great, of significant events. These memories are at the very foundation of much of the biblical text, and they form the foundation for Psalm 105 and Psalm 106. Great events, a call to remember them, to reflect upon them. Not only to reflect upon one's own participation or presence at those events, but even more so to reflect upon the faithfulness of God, even when sometimes we least deserve it. In fact, in each of these two Psalms, 105 and 106, the command to remember occurs three times in each one. Three, the presence and the action of God within Hebrew theology and numerology. And this call to remember pushes the congregation of Israel to think about God's faithfulness in contrast to human unfaithfulness. Psalm 105 is a hymn of praise, and it's actually meant to be used in a congregational setting, not an individual one, but a congregational setting. It calls the children of Israel, the whole congregation, together to contemplate their history, especially from the call of Abraham to the very conquest of the land of Canaan. In all of this, the psalmist calls them to look for and follow throughout these events God's guiding hand in the life of Israel, on the life of Israel, and for the life of Israel, God's chosen people. That God's guiding hand is present, even when sometimes they forgot, and at other times when they seemed to wander away, God's hand was still there, guiding them, protecting them, watching over them. The congregants are urged to spend time reflecting on the wonderful works God has been doing throughout their history and continues to do, with the understanding that if God has done this in the past and is doing it in the present, then God will be faithful in the future for those who will follow God. As Mark Dunn writes in a commentary on Psalms concerning both Psalm 105 and 106, I quote, "Psalm 105 celebrates the grand faithfulness of God. Psalm 106 confesses the unfaithfulness of God's people. Amid a prayer for salvation, Psalm 105 gives a call to remember, to worship the Lord of wonders, a litany of the wonders the Lord performed while remembering His covenant, a restatement that the Lord has remembered His promises. Psalm 106 contains a plea that the Lord remember the worshipers, followed by a confession of a people who did not remember God's kindness. Another plea that the Lord save His people. A call for God's faithfulness." And so this morning I want us to think, not only through the psalm, but think through our own lives of places where God has shown that faithfulness, perhaps even looking for those places within your own life that you've missed an opportunity to praise God for His faithfulness. So what do we find in Psalm 105? First, there is a call to worship the Lord. Seems simple enough, right? Worship God. Chris mentioned earlier, worshiping God. But what all does this entail? First of all, from the psalmist's point of view, worshiping God means to give thanks. To give thanks to God for God's presence, for God's faithfulness, for God's concern. Secondly, the psalm indicates that we are to call on the Lord's name. That is, seeking God for redemption, for salvation, for forgiveness. Third, we are to sing praises to God. And in those praises, to recognize the power and the presence of God. Fourth, we are to make known the Lord's work to the peoples. Not just the people among us. We are to tell. We are to share. The congregants are called upon not just to come in and sing praise to God and have prayers and then feel good about themselves and go home and eat their lamb or their goat. They wouldn't do pork. But they are to go with an attitude of sharing, of telling, of giving good news and a good report of God's faithfulness. Building our evangelism on our worship and making our telling a very act of worship. We really have nothing about which to evangelize. We really have no foundation if we do not first come and recognize God and properly worship God. But then, once we have experienced that, once we have participated in worshiping God, it is incumbent upon we as God's children to tell. That's what evangelism is. It's simply telling. Giving the good news of God's grace and of God's deeds. Recognizing that everyone is worthy of hearing. Everyone is worthy of our telling. And then we are to glory in and rejoice in God and God's name. A name which is holy. It's not common. God is other. And this one who is other than what we are and what we can ever hope to be does action for us. Which then should inspire even more telling and sharing of that good news. Another important understanding of our responsibility as believers and worshipers is to seek the Lord continually. The psalmist says to seek God continually, seek His face continually, not just when we're here at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, or at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, or on Wednesday evenings, or when it's time to say the blessing, but to seek God and God's presence in all areas of life. Within verses 3 and 4, we find, "Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Even in our seeking, we are to do so with an attitude of joy and expectation. It's not just another thing to get through. We are to seek God's presence and God's will and God's activity in and around us with joy and expectation. Seek the Lord and His strength. It's not just for our good, but for the good of others. For God's strength to be present for us and others. Seek His presence continually. Literally, the Hebrew word is face. We translate it presence, but literally the Hebrew word is face. Seek God's face. That's a rather radical idea within Judaism, is it not? It may be a radical idea for us to seek the face of God. In other words, to seek to look God eye to eye, because only then can we fully know and can we fully be known. And for many, that's a scary prospect. A scary prospect. For we may not like what we see reflected in the eyes of God of us. But to seek God's face continually, that is, to reflect upon and to think very seriously about what we do, why we do it, and what God's opinion is of what we offer. Living this seeker life is a very strong and laudable act of lifelong worship. It makes God's work personal for us and alive for those who truly believe and who worship, not just on Sunday mornings or in their case on the Sabbath, but who worship each and every day by our actions, by our words, by our thoughts. Dunn writes, and I quote, "Compile a list of grand acts the Lord has performed in your life, and then take the time to notice the Lord's movement through those actions." The congregants are called upon to do this But I think when we read the psalm and when we really think about our relationship with God and our call, it's the same for you and me. Every day, we should seek those actions, those moments where God is present that we can see, to reflect upon those each day. And in doing so, you know what the result should be and will probably be? We will then begin noticing more and more of God's presence. In other words, we will be seeking the face of God continually, every place we are found. And we might be surprised just where we will find God and the face of God, and in whose face we will see Him. We might not want to do that sometimes, and we might not want to do everything that verse 5 indicates. Remember the wonderful works, His miracles, and the judgments He uttered. We don't mind looking at the miracles, right? How many of us really want to look at the judgments? I didn't see any hands go up. We don't want to think of judgment. But what is meant here is not punishment. See, that's what we think when we think judgment, right? We're being judged, we're being punished. That's not what the psalmist is indicating here. Rather, we are to look at the decisions of God by which God declares His personal involvement in our lives. Sometimes those are in difficult circumstances. Sometimes they are in miracles. Sometimes God has determined to be present within our lives in the mundane and the ordinary. The word here for judgment means look at the places where God has made a decision, a judgment, to be involved in our lives. So see, this isn't being afraid of God, unless perhaps we're afraid of where God might lead us. But it is finding those places where God has determined that God will be present in our lives and personally involved. And that should be a reason to rejoice. Some of these places where God has been present in their lives are recounted for the Israelite congregants as the psalmist begins recounting how God fulfilled the covenant. Covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and their descendants. Just as God promised. By the way, Paige read for 1,000 generations. 40 years is considered a generation, so I guess that would be 40,000 years minimum. I think we're part of that. That promise that God will continue to be faithful even to 1,000 generations and beyond. These recalled memories show where God's faithfulness to that covenant was proven. We might think, how unoriginal, how mundane, and how dull, how redundant to repeat all of these things that we would read if we read the entire 105th Psalm. Yet, as one commentator has stated, is it not true that the best songs come not from those who are afraid of the familiar, but from those who have pondered faithfully the common realities of life and restated them with new energy? One of the greatest moments in a life walked with Christ may not be the first step. We oftentimes remember that first step. But that may not be the greatest moment, though it's a moment to be remembered. But consider when we return to Christ's walk after a lapse of sinful acts or of mere apathy, and we find a loving, faithful, forgiving Lord rather than a mean-spirited tyrant. We constantly say that God is a forgiving God, but these are just so many hopeful words, quite frankly. until we personally experience that faithful, forgiving Lord. And when we experience those steps with that faithful and forgiving Lord, it's unfathomable and priceless. Psalm 105 calls believers to worship because of who God is. The Lord, our God. And because of God's faithfulness in every way to His covenant. A remembrance of grace. A remembrance of hope promised by God for the salvation of any and all who will return faithfully to covenant living. Not just counting on God's grace in the new covenant through Jesus, but in responding to God's faithfulness through and in our lives of worship, of thanksgiving, of praise. We have a faithful God, and the call is for us to be faithful and follow Him. And when we do that, looking for and finding His presence in each and every day of our lives, we will find His faithfulness always and forever. May we pray. O Lord our God, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us, for Your faithfulness on behalf of us, for Your faithfulness in Your grace for all the world to see. Help us to be living examples of that faithful service, living examples of that covenant that You have made with us and for us, not just for our good, but for the good of this world which You created and which You continue to love. It's in Christ's name that we ask these things. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 599. Jesus is Lord of all. It is a call not only to remember God's faithfulness in Christ, but it is also a call to remember the faithfulness to which we have been called. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Hymn number 599, Jesus is Lord of all.